a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:53 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your correct digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by your friendly folks at college at magnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. This is Drew Croson, a.k.a. Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, Son of Crow on Venmo. That's where you'll find me. Bringing you that sick Auburn content that you long for, along with my co-host Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for,
I don't know what it stands for. I just had a really good pizza and I was thinking about it.
Slinging Zaz? Slinging Zaz? to the other side of me, bringing you that full Fort Payne ASMR you asked me for in my DMs is the AU Chief.
Buenas noches.
Speaking of which, have you ever heard the album Buenas Noches from a Lonely Room by Dwight Yoakam?
I don't think I've listened to the whole album. I'm certain that I've probably heard something off the album.
Dwight Yoakam is one of my all-time faves, and in my opinion, one of the most underrated performers in American history.
All right.
Dwight Yoakam was a country music singer that was in a Gap ad. Famously.
Well, more than Gap ad, he is a full-fledged actor with a pretty robust IMDb page.
He was in Panic Room with my friend, Jared Leto.
You know Jared Leto?
Yeah, man.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, the Joker, right? Isn't that why he's famous?
Yeah, and Kristen Stewart is also in that. Jodie Foster. Forrest Whitaker. Look at that. And Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, hey, wait, I know who that is. That's Saul Guerrero, right?
Yeah, Saul Guerrero.
There we go.
Have you ever seen the film Wedding Crashers? Dwight Yoakam has a small role in that. He's in a lot of films. Been in a lot.
That would have been a college movie for you guys, right?
100%.
Wedding Crashers?
Oh, I was out of college by then, right?
No, you were in college. Really? No, Wedding Crashers is 2005.
Oh, it's 05. Okay.
Yeah, so that puts me in fifth grade, so I didn't see that until much later.
Yikes.
My God. Have you ever seen Old School, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like any time close when it came out, but
he did a voice for a character on Axe Cop. It turns out I loved Axe Cop. So that's definitely something you should check out. Is the
Panic Room is his big, like, he's got a meaty role in that one.
Yeah. He's also in Sling Blade.
Jared Leto has cornrows in that movie, Ryan, so you should give that a watch.
Does he do the face tats again or no?
No.
I was really into Jared Leto's band at one point. What was the name of that band?
30 Seconds of Mars. Yeah, that's right. That's how we're pals. I've seen them several times. Hung out with old Jair after the shows.
That's what I'm talking about.
How
is Jared Leto as a hang?
Oh, he's weird, man.
That's what I thought.
He's an oddball. He's an odd bird. I'll tell you some stories off air.
Okay, perfect.
We need to do a premium podcast. We're going to start a Patreon, and it's just going to be Chief telling us weird stories.
Chief After Dark.
I got weird stories.
Chief outs people's Twitter handle, real names.
Addresses.
Address. He's just doxing people. Chief doxes Auburn Twitter. You guys want to know who so-and-so is? Just talk to AU Chief.
They live at...
Yeah. This person actually is a dirtbag and blah, 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 blah. That's how most of them start. All right. Guys, we have a heck of a show tonight.
Joshua B. Black is...
Good dude. Joshua B. Black. We have a show tonight that I really wanted to get into something that's really important to me. And that is somebody released one of those dumb memes where they released the best... In this case, pizza restaurant in all of these college towns in the Power Five. And I think it was a long play to make a joke about Tuscaloosa. And if it was genius because initially nobody saw it. But then he put that Alabama's was Chuck E. Cheese. which I thought was just, it's incredible. Like,
I got to thinking about it, and I do not think I've ever had a slice of pizza in Tuscaloosa, despite spending many, many weekends in the stinkiest city in the world.
I mean, the funny thing was, not only did nobody notice it at first, but really, I didn't tell people going, oh, man, you've never been to Mix. I want, you guys want to hear a terrible joke. I envisioned in my brain for this joke a pizza place in Tuscaloosa named McSwastikas. I didn't say it because it's so horrible.
Man.
And so I stopped myself to then tell you what I stopped myself from saying. But that would be the name of the fictional pizza place in my brain in Tuscaloosa. Irish Nazi pizza.
When I was there was not a lot of when my wife was there, so I was there a lot. There wasn't like a lot of like boutique eateries there. Like there wasn't like a Little Italy.
They're real big Domino's pizza, is that what I'm hearing?
Well, like I said,
Papa John's.
Like it would be Papa John's, Domino's. I can't even think of if there's a Pizza Hut there. I'm sure there is.
You get out Pizza the Hut
that I've ever seen. But like I don't know that I've ever had a slice of pizza there. Maybe Papa John's, it's some sort of thing that I went to. Maybe
my wife is a big, she prefers Papa John's to the other big chain stores.
Well, I ate a lot of Papa John's. That was the preferred pizza place of most of the gymnasiums in North Alabama.
Sure.
And that would be my meal before the game. On our road trips, I'd go get a couple slices of pizza and eat those. I sort of started laying off Papa John's after the double homicide that happened at our Papa John's in Fort Payne. I didn't really eat Papa John's much after that. So,
well, I don't know if Papa John's had anything to do with that.
Well,
I bet you he might have.
Oh, well, yeah. Actual Papa John. Yeah.
Papa. Well, these.
Oh, Papa. Big Papa.
Interesting. A teammate of mine runs a Papa John's in the Gadsden area, I believe, now. So it's like his thing.
Pizza Hut was my go-to as a kid. I loved it.
And me too.
The go-to. And I think it was because Ryan
Mortal
probably.
Kombat?
Yeah, Ryan probably didn't know anything about the Pizza Hut eat-in life. The dine-in Pizza Hut experience that was like
the only time. I'm not going to say the only time. The only time that I have gone to a Pizza Hut and dined in and paid for it myself.
Jeez Louise.
Is in Roanoke, Alabama. About 45 minutes north of here.
Jesus. The Lost
they still
Colony.
Have one, at least as of like 2-3 years ago.
Were you on a meth buy? Like, what were you doing?
Like, Ryan, you used to be able to go, you and your fam could go have lunch at Pizza Hut and have the buffet.
Oh, buddy.
And you'd get your Pepsi in a red pebbled cup, Dr. Pepper if you're a true Texan, and free refills and just all the Pizza Hut pizza you could eat. And then a weird salad bar that for whatever reason had chocolate pudding on it. And no one ever explained that to me, but it was like iceberg lettuce, croutons, shredded cheddar cheese, cabbage, a couple of weird things you might put on a salad, and then chocolate pudding.
Our Pizza Hut was the closest thing we had to an arcade in Fort Payne. So ours
just had Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man. I don't think we had anything else.
We had a bunch of great games. So a lot of people would have their – we had the X-Men video game, Mortal Kombat, Ninja Turtles game was there, I believe, Street Fighter probably. Like it was like 4 or 5 games there that you could play. They were also selling drugs out of that Pizza Hut, so eventually it closed down, and they opened a new one very close to my house on the north end of town.
You knew it was bad whenever the Pizza Hut would remodel.
It's not on your turf.
It's not on my turf. Yeah. Whenever the Pizza Hut would remodel and say Pizza Hut Wing Street, you knew it was going to be downhill because you knew that meant there'd be no more lunch buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the beginning of the end.
The one in Auburn is the Wing Street.
Yeah, no lunch buffet.
And it was purpose built that way. It's tiny.
Yeah, and like
the one in Opelika was still doing lunch buffet for a while. I don't think they do anymore.
It was the lunch buffet was $11.99 for a while, But we were in college because I went to lunch buffet in Opelika when I was in college.
Oh, I was already off the Pizza Hut wagon by then. I was Mr. Gaddy's is where I was sure. getting my buffet on.
And then Mr. Gaddy's went out while I was in college.
Yeah, it was pretty soon. I lived right next door to Mr. Gaddy's. Sure. So that was pretty nice.
I lived right next door to where Mr. Gaddy's used to be when I was.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
So Ryan, Mr. Gaddy's. If you wanted to actually see Tommy Tuberville and the coaching staff in person, you could go to Mr. Gaddy's and get pizza buffet for dinner.
Where was this?
It
was on Gay Street?
Yeah, well, yes. Do you know the apartment building on the corner of Gay and Thatch?
So back to kind of where the well, not anymore, but Mama G's was there.
No. It's behind the hotel and conference center, basically.
Behind the hotel?
Yeah. Across the street from the Methodist Church or the is that the Methodist Church? No, the
Presbyterian Church.
Presbyterian Church.
So you've got the new fancy hotel on Gay Street. Yeah.
It's across the street.
Across the street from the Collegiate.
That was the Commons. Yeah. And then it was called.
Oh, so okay. It was
called something else now. The university owns it now.
Mm-hmm. So across the street from the chapel parking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And right next to that on Gay Street was Mr. Gaddy's, and then it was Northcutt Realty, and I think it might still be Northcutt.
A lot of that lot is becoming the new Culinary Science Building now.
Oh, I think that's the front lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the back is might be parking for it now.
Yeah, that's I lived there. There was a pool there. It was a nice place to live. You got all your there's a dining hall there. So I didn't eat out a ton because I had all my meals. My parents had already prepaid for all my meals, which did cost them quite a bit to live there. So I ate most of my meals there. But I did eat at Gaddy's fairly often. Taco Bell and Mama G's. Those are like the three places I ate at my freshman year. Mm. But Gaddy's had a good slice. They also had mac and cheese. It was just the straight up Kraft mac and cheese out of the box that somebody cooked up a big batch of in the back.
Nothing wrong with that.
Delicious. It's perfect.
So, Crow, what was the Auburn place on the list?
The Auburn place on the list. Sorry, thank you, Ryan, for bringing us back to the show. Was Little Italy, there were Auburn folks who were up in arms about this, but Little Italy's not half bad. It's really good.
I think it gets the rap of being the like place you go after you've been out at the bar or whatever.
Which it is.
It of course. But I've been on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh yeah, sure.
Delicious. It's delicious if you go. It's good pizza.
It's good hangover pizza too.
Yeah.
Well, and I would go get it to go, like take it home and eat it with the family
I hear they make pretty good subs. I've heard things about the tuna sub, which I would never eat, but it's supposedly pretty good. But
not on your life. You know, what I've heard of that tuna sub.
Meatball sub's pretty good there too.
Yeah, I've heard their subs are really good. At some point I had one of their calzones. I'm not sure. I can't confirm that. But yeah, they make a great slice, and I don't really see a problem with it. Like, what else are you going to pick?
I was going to say, Mello is – I do like the Mello in Auburn.
I've eaten at Mello probably more than I've eaten at any other pizza place.
We love Mello Mushroom on this podcast.
It's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast is very pro-Mello Mushroom.
I think
Auburn
Mello is one of the best Mellos I've been to.
Didn't we record a podcast from Mello Mushroom?
We were going to, and then it was too loud, so we just ate and left.
Yeah. So,
I think there's a new contender for – at least best in the Auburn Opelika area. New restaurant called Dough over in Opelika, downtown, next to Zazu's. Apparently, it's been open since October, November, but I would not know that.
I had heard about it probably around back then, but I'm like, well, I'm never. When am I going to go there?
But. Crow suggested we talk about pizza tonight, and so I looked up the Yelp ratings of pizza places in near my house, and that was one of the top ones. So I went, got a prosciutto pizza with some onions and arugula on it. I think they've got like two different crusts. I've got like a traditional American and then a Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. Really, really good. I mean, you know, like I said, it might be the contender for the best in the area. Mm-hmm. Cool little tap room too. They've got, you know, probably 20, 25 beers on tap and a bunch of other craft stuff in cans.
Underrated slice in town. That reminded me what you said is at Baumhauer's. They have a coal-fired oven that
Baumhauer's. Oh,
they do the wings in.
Yeah.
They do their pizza in there too.
Yeah.
If they still do pizza, I've been forever since I've been there, right. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. I've had the wings in the pizza oven and they're fantastic.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to check that place out soon. And it's nice to have that. Now you'll have to enlighten Crow and myself because it has been a while since we were students at Auburn.
Sure.
Do students at Auburn even know where Opelika is? Because when
yes,
Crow and
because
I
were... when Red Clay Brewery has really brought that up, like made that popular with students.
Okay, because when Crow and I were in school, I would say the majority of the people that we went to school probably couldn't find Opelika on a map.
You didn't go to Opelika until you were a junior or a senior, and then you'd go to like 8th and Rail back then. It was 8th and Rail.
The only people that went to Opelika were people that went to First Baptist Opelika's college ministry. And, and even then, they wouldn't really know how to get to Opelika. They just knew how to get there.
You could get to – right. Oh, man. Freshman year, sophomore year, you'd do that. Freshman, junior and senior year, you'd be at 8th and Rail. But 8th and Rail was kind of the beginning of what downtown Opelika became.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I think it's out of
business. So Zazu's moved to Opelika from downtown Auburn, I believe.
Yep. Is 8th and Rail still around? Is there still a business?
8th and Rail is still there.
Okay.
And then now you've got two breweries and a distillery in downtown Opelika.
Which are all great.
Yeah, I highly recommend.
And if they want to give us free stuff,
Mama Moses
they should.
Is down there now.
Thing that used to be there was Jimmy's, Breezeway, and 8th and Rail.
Jimmy's is
at the Goodwill
Niffer's store. There's a Niffer's location down there, too.
Jimmy's is okay. That Niffer's down there is great.
Irish Bread Pub's down there.
Irish Bread Pub is great.
10 or 12 years now. It's been there a long time now.
That was my first experience in Opelika, was going to IBP for somebody's like birthday dinner or something like that.
And, I mean, I know people personally that never once went to Opelika when they were at Auburn. It's wild.
And
when
the best
when I got
shop
there,
in
it
the
was,
area
it was the place
Opelika.
Where the upperclassmen went, and it was like the cool thing to go to.
Right.
So,
because they could probably find Opelika on a map.
It's a cool downtown, and
but it doesn't count as Auburn when it comes to these rankings. Which Brian, this new pizza place you found, what was the name of it?
Dough Pizzeria.
Sweet Dough.
Do they have Homer Simpson iconography there?
They do not.
I really wish they. I wish they had literal Homer Simpson iconography, like he's painted like he's the Blessed Virgin. Yes. So. Within the city limits of Auburn, what is the best pizza place? And this is funny.
The city limits.
It's funny because we've talked about this on this podcast, that in Auburn, it seems to be, if you build it, it will go out of business and become a pizza place.
I think Piology made a pretty good slice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
For essentially the same thing, I prefer Matteo's over Biology.
And I think Jay Jacobs hired a lot of good coaches when he was at Auburn. Because my opinion is Biology is the Jay Jacobs of downtown Auburn.
I prefer that place being a cool bar, but now it's going to be a Whataburger, so, you know, whatever. It was fine. I don't begrudge anyone refusing to ever go in there when it was Biology. And now they're out of business. Matteo's.
I don't even know where Matteo's is. I don't have any clue where it is.
It's fine. It was fine.
The road burger fine nukes are.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it even still Matteo's?
Yeah. Unless it's changed like in the last month or two.
Okay.
There are people on this podcast who graduated from Auburn in like 2000.
Yeah. Oh, that was still days in.
Clue what we're talking about.
That was still day for anybody listening. That was still days in when Crow and I were in school.
Yeah, the heart of Auburn.
The heart of Auburn. Well, yeah,
with the Chinese buffet.
They may have lost their days in.
I got pretty good food poisoning at that Chinese buffet once.
I stayed in. That day's in one time.
I ate a crawfish at that Chinese buffet that I swear to you was gray. Like it was the color of the shell was gray.
Do you remember?
And who knows what the inside looked like? Downtown? Chengdu was great.
Yeah, it was.
Great.
This is kind of going on a trend I saw earlier this week where I think someone took a picture of the new complex across from the Shelby Center where the Chick-fil-A was, kind of looking up Magnolia.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it was saying, you know, asking Auburn Twitter, what street is this? And a lot of people couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. As someone that was newer to Auburn, I guess, I don't mind a lot of the development. I don't like that it's all going to be standard college apartments that they're not going to be able to fill. But as far as putting up new buildings and even them being, you know, seven or eight stories. Like, that doesn't bother me at all.
Except that we just talked about how sweet Opelika was, and downtown Auburn has decided to be the opposite.
Yeah. As long as they don't look like something that would look more at home in Baghdad than Auburn, Alabama, then I'm cool with whatever.
What I do like is that they're all going to have storefronts on the first floor, and that's really going to kind of expand the footprint of downtown.
Look, every generation goes through this. People that went to school 10 years before Crow and I wouldn't have recognized Auburn when Crow and I were here. And, we don't recognize it now. I've lived in Auburn 18 years now and can hardly recognize some of the stuff. But, But back to pizza. you didn't answer the question, Ryan. What's the best
slice? No. So I need a clarification. Was the question, what is the best pizza in Auburn, or what is the best pizza place? Because, like, you could go to a Italian restaurant and get a pretty good pizza.
I would say two questions. One, what is the best slice of pie? Two, what is the best pizza joint? And I would say, unfortunately for Mellow Mushroom, which I would say might be the winner.
Well, they're the first place in Auburn where you could get a assortment of craft beers.
It's true.
So that's what really put them over the top.
I would eliminate them because they are a chain establishment. Yeah. Even though Mellow Mushroom does the best job of any chain restaurant I've ever been to at making each location feel like you're not in a chain restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
So for the best pizza, I'm going to go probably an unpopular opinion and say the barbecue chicken pizza at Venditori's is fantastic. If you've never had it.
I don't even know where that is.
Venditori's is at the Bent Creek exit.
It used to be called, called
Venditori's for like 10 years probably now.
That's the one that's by that hotel, by the Hilton Garden Inn?
Yeah.
It used to be called something else.
Across from the airport.
I forget what it's called. It was a chain before, and it's the same people that own it, and it's like they make the same stuff. They just dropped the name because they didn't want to pay the franchise fee anymore. So
that's interesting because I don't know what chain it would have been. Like it doesn't strike me as
it wasn't like a Johnny Carino's type chain. It was
wasn't like a Maggiano's or anything.
No, like six of them.
Surely Auburn didn't have a Maggiano's.
No,
it was a micro chain, as they call them, a regional chain.
Yeah. Anyways, very underrated pizza there. As far as pizza place, if you're not letting me pick Mellow, then I'm going to go Little Italy.
Little Italy's what I'm going with either way.
Been disappointed with a pizza at Little Italy, it's more my fault than theirs. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
It's just a good vibe, too. It's just like your grungy local pizza place.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's like the only place in downtown Auburn where I can't get cell service, too. I don't know. That's interesting.
I haven't been there in way too long. We should go for lunch one day, Ryan.
It was a short-lived nightclub for a while called Dot 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 in Italy.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Ryan, there was it was like a semester. Like it was.
I was really confused when people were talking about Little Italy. I'm like, you talking about in Italy? Like a bar?
It was a very weird name for a bar. Dot dot dot. So ellipses. In Italy was the name of the bar.
Yeah.
And it was a club. Like it was full on dance club was vibe.
Was it actually in Little Italy or was it where Enfuego was? I thought it was.
I think it was both of those.
Enfuego now Fusion. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Correct. I think it was the Fusion
sort of.
And Little Italy. I think it was both. I think they put a wall up.
Yeah.
At some point.
There's also a Buffalo Wing place over there called Buffalo's, Ryan.
Yeah, Buffalo. And there was a really good outdoor store there, too, in that same.
Oh, yeah.
We had a Buffalo's near my house.
And that outdoor store went out.
Buffalo Wild Wings?
I don't know. It was Buffalo's.
Oh, in your house in.
Like, yeah, in Lawrenceville.
Okay.
I want to say that in Italy also was like, maybe it was like the Moe's Barbecue, Little Italy.
Yeah.
Like those two buildings.
It was over there somewhere.
Anyway, it was a wild place.
Should we talk some sports at this point?
Sports?
Maybe a commercial? I don't know.
Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk Auburn sports. And we're back at 26.
I eat Marcos a lot.
Okay. 26 minutes and we'll just call it 26 minutes into this podcast with that break. Is Jack putting
Jack's
the breaks
put
in?
The commercial in anyways.
Like, is he not doing that anymore?
I don't know. It was just the one time. I
think. Are we getting paid for this?
Is anybody listening?
If you are listening to this and you want to give Ryan and Chief and me free pizza.
Tweet us all right now if you're listening to this. And just let us know.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Your favorite slice of pizza.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tweet us and be like, you guys are idiots. I love Pyology.
Marcos is pretty good, though, if you haven't had Marcos. It's a big chain now, I guess.
I like Marcos.
It's a gas station chain now, isn't it, for the most part?
What?
That's normally where I see Marcos is, like, on the side of, like, the add-on restaurant for a gas station.
Oh, no. This is
Johnny Brusco's is pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Brusco's is underrated. We should have talked about them.
We're talking about them now.
Yeah, we are. Marcos is just up the street from my house. Or it's the closest pizza place to my house, I should say. It's not really up the street, but...
Anyways, Trey Alexander.
Yeah, I wonder what his favorite slice is.
He'll never have one.
Trey Alexander is pretty. I'm pretty bummed about this, and I wrote as much on the website that like, there's no like, there's no way to spin this that makes it look like a somehow net positive for Auburn. This is a big break, like. A big loss. Like it's
stinks.
It super stinks. Like this guy is going to be playing professional basketball in a minimum 2 years and maximum. I would say maximum 2 years. He's playing pro hoops somewhere and he was coming to Auburn and for whatever reason, I'm not going to tell a kid he made something up, but for whatever reason, he felt like he was lied to by the coaching staff, and he decided he wanted out of his letter of intent. And I think a lot of it does not have to do with – because I saw someone on Twitter was like, we had four guards on the roster when he committed, and we currently have three. This guy's lying. Well, the four guards we had on the roster, there was only one that was probably going to challenge him for playing time. We currently have three.
Hang on. Can we go through some names? I want to see what your – angle is there.
There were two. How many twos on the roster?
Well, so okay, so we didn't have four twos. We had four guards.
Sorry.
Before he came out with this, there's already sourced information saying that he had been told that we were planning on filling all the guard spots.
Right. I think he did not think we were going to fill the guard spots with experienced players at his position. So,
but we're one down from where we were. That's the thing.
We're one down from where we were at guard. But Trey Alexander isn't a guard. He's a shooting guard. And we didn't fill the position with guard. We filled it with shooting guards. Had we signed four point guards, I think Trey Alexander would have been like, hey, actually, this is great for me. I'm better at two than all these dudes. But in fact,
the only other true two on the roster is Jesse Sills.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, so because Zepp is going to be mainly a point
guard. No, you're right. But I think Desi Sills, bringing in a guy like Desi Sills, who started in the SEC last year, is, to Trey Alexander, probably more of a challenge than
but
Jamal Johnson was an SEC starter as well. So.
Yeah, and the thing
– And I would say that losing Jamal Johnson and Justin Powell made Trey Alexander probably think, I'm playing already, 40 minutes a game.
He had already signed his letter of intent long before any of these people
Sure.
did.
And I would say that he was better – had we not lost those two cats, he probably still – would have started or easily started over Powell or Desi Sills in his mind.
I
think you're forgetting how good Justin Powell was.
No, I think everyone is. I think everyone has blown has lost their minds about Justin Powell. I have thought that
since you wrote the article,
and then he went off and had some pretty okay SEC games, and people were very quick.
He had like three SEC games. People were very quick
to point out the flaws in Sharif Cooper's game, who meanwhile were like, oh man, Justin Powell's here. He'd be hitting 33s.
We never got to see him.
33s!
And he was out of position. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Justin Powell hype from Auburn fan base was outlandish. Outlandish.
And I will be the first person to boo him when Tennessee comes to Auburn next year.
Sure. Sure. I just think I don't know.
I think Trey Alexander has
bailed.
I don't think he just bailed because he like got cold feet.
That's the thing.
I think he legitimately felt challenged by Desi Sills.
I'm not going to dog Trey Alexander. I mean,
it is
what it is.
It's silly. His excuse is really stupid, and it's a kind of stupid excuse a 17-year-old kid's going to make when he doesn't want to look like the bad guy. It's just weird that, okay, if you're mad about Desi Sills, then call Auburn and be like, hey, what's going on? Like, why are we like, what are you guys doing? And I don't know. It seems like when
you were like 17, 18 years old.
Yes.
This is kind of the same thing. It's not like, oh,
a guy that's like changed his mind or got his feelings hurt or something.
It is what it is.
Aaron Rodgers, the Packers drafting a quarterback in the first round. Aaron Rodgers is like, wait, what the heck?
It's weird that he's tried to couch it in this, I'm reopening my recruitment. No, dude, you signed with a team. This is a transfer.
This will use his one free transfer.
It should.
I'm pretty sure it will.
There's a chance Auburn could just let him out of his letter of intent.
Well, and I do think that has been the case. At least it seemed like it, where Auburn wasn't going to pursue it.
I thought was, I wonder if this dude thought he was going to be playing with Sharif Cooper next year, and he doesn't.
It could have been that he signed with Auburn because he thought, I'm playing with Sharif and Thor, and then turns out he's playing with neither one of those dudes.
Yeah,
still playing with Jabari. But.
Yeah, he's still playing with like the number
and five
player in the country or whatever. I don't know.
But he went from remember when Ferg said that Flanagan was going to start over Justin Powell, and he got flamed by people on Auburn Twitter saying that was crazy. I feel like that right now. When he signed, he thought there was not a doubt in his mind he was the starter at two for Auburn his freshman year.
Did he sign in December, though?
Yeah.
He signed like 2 weeks before the season started in November.
Yeah. There's no way he can come into Auburn and think, I am the presumed starter at two, because there's guys with more experience who have played this position.
There's a guy with more experience.
Yeah. Well, that's – look, in the same way that Trey Alexander, I said on this podcast, Trey Alexander did not sign with Auburn to sit on the bench.
But he did.
That high ranked of recruit. No, he didn't. He's dying in thinking he was going to start at two with Sharif Cooper at the one. He did not think Justin Powell was going to be ahead of him at the two. Nobody did before the season started.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like when he actually signed.
But Auburn had, what, three twos at that point?
And not a one of them could have, not one of them was going to start over Trey Alexander. Not one of them.
Yeah, because Flan's had not been great the year before. And Flan's a three.
And Flan's a three.
We all know Flan's a three.
I still think he plays two next year.
Powell was a three star. Jamal had shown nothing. previously.
So Trey Alexander, who at the time I think was the fourth highest ranked recruit in the history of the school, thought, I'm going to go in there and be...
He's like 13th before when he decommitted.
Okay, when he decommitted. Okay.
Right, and I don't think he fell a bunch. But...
He was a four-star recruit. He probably did not. He did not think he was going to go in and sit. He went. He thought, I'm going to go in and start. And then now he's not. And he's thinking, I don't want to be in college for more than a year, maybe two. But why am I going to waste it on the bench in Auburn?
To circle back to his statement, and I'll read it real quick. This is what he told the Oklahoman the day after. So they asked him, what led to you wanting to reopen your recruitment? And he said, I just felt like most of the stuff Auburn told me in the beginning of the recruitment didn't stick. They didn't keep their word, basically. So that, to me, says that the coaching staff told him he was going to start.
That could have been the case.
I don't know if I believe that. I think it was, hey, you could come compete for a starter job your freshman year.
And right now,
I don't think Bruce.
Nobody's
told him
he's not going to start. Like, even if he thinks that in his mind, no one said, hey, you're not going to start now. So that's what I don't buy it. It's just a jilted or somebody that's mad.
I'm curious where he goes. Let's say that.
Probably Oklahoma.
Just like we were with Justin Powell, if he goes to Kentucky, he's not going to have any friends in Auburn anymore.
I think
there's a good chance he just stays home, goes to Oklahoma.
And he goes to Oklahoma.
I mean, why would he have friends here anyway? Nobody, screw him. He didn't come here. I don't have to cheer for him wherever he goes.
I also think that Desi Sills did not commit to Auburn to sit on the bench.
That's true.
Especially if you are a transfer.
Yeah, why did he leave Arkansas to come sit on the bench?
He didn't come sit on the bench at Auburn. So somebody told Desi Sills.
Desi Sills, if he is starting next year, that's not good for us.
Well, who's starting ahead of him at the two? Who's better two?
I've told you, I still think you play Flan at the two, Jabari at the three.
Jabari the three?
Yes.
And you play Thor at the three.
Jalen at the four.
So,
or if you don't, I still think Devin Cambridge is better than Desi Sills. So you play Devin at the two and Flan at the three.
I think Desi Sills will start in the two. I think it's going to be.
I do not think that is the plan.
I
guarantee you it wasn't the plan when Auburn recruited him because they still had Trey Alexander at that point.
Right.
We're back to not having anybody who can shoot the three. We got to hit this transfer market hard. If we had, I think we had just, everybody was back home. We're not recruiting this. We're not hitting this transfer market. And now we're we got to hit it. We got to get somebody.
I think that Jabari is the best 3-point shooter on the team coming in this year.
Put him
at the team.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance that Jalen does not start than Desi Sills does not start.
I don't agree with that.
I think Desi Sills is – well, no, because Flan's going to start at the two.
Flan's playing three.
And I hope.
I think Flan's starting at the three.
I think Devin is ahead of Desi at the two.
Devin was so good off the bench.
No way. I don't think that's right, Ryan.
Did Devin play two last year?
Yeah. Devin's he's great coming off the bench.
I think he's your second three. And I think
if he could shoot the three more consistently, I think if he works his butt off this summer, which I don't think there's any indication that he doesn't work hard.
No.
A gym rat. And gets to where he can just knock them down all the time and he's not streaky, then maybe, yeah, he could start it too. Why not? But I think Sills, his issue is also consistency. I think he can get to the rim, though, and that's something that we'll need if we can't shoot the three. So
I will say, Auburn, if Desi Sills is starting, Auburn went from potentially having the tallest lineup in the SEC next year to middle of the pack if they're lucky.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's not a big guy. He's 6'1" on a good day.
It's true.
And if you put him at a two, pairing him with Wendell Green, who's 5'11", that really
I don't think we signed Desi Sills to start. And that's
I promise you we didn't.
That's what's so stupid about this.
The problem was Trey Alexander was still going to start. He went from a six-man at Arkansas to being more of an eighth or ninth option last year after he got hurt, and that's why he's leaving.
This is why I don't buy Trey Alexander's thing. He was still going to start at the two. He was going to be our starting two. Unless it was Flan, which maybe that's what he was worried about. But I just – he was going to start at two.
Or is Alan Flanagan going to be the first player to go to the NBA from Auburn who never played his actual position for more than, like, three games in a row?
It's possible.
Like, Flan is a three. 100%, yeah. That is what position he needs to be playing if you're going to play position basketball.
That's the official stance of this podcast, I believe, is that Flan is a three and should be playing three, but he may not.
If he can make a similar improvement in his shooting as he did between his freshman and sophomore year, though, I don't think he hurts you with two.
Yeah,
he turned into, what, 35% shooter from three last year? And that was after kind of a cold stretch at the end of the year?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Unfortunately, that was about the best shooter on the team.
Even with that kind of percentage, I would rather Jalen Williams be shooting my game-winning three-shot than Flan.
From the point guard position?
Yeah, from the point guard position.
I do think Crow's right. I think Jabari may end up being the best three-point shooter on the team.
Probably. I mean, that's...
He actually beat Trey Alexander in a three-point contest just a couple weeks ago.
Hey, people are mad about this Trey thing, and I'm not mad in a, like, oh my God, that this ruins the season kind of way. I'm just like, don't be a stupid kid. But they're kids.
Better to figure it out before he gets here.
Well, sure. We didn't lose. He wasn't the prize of this class. It was Jabari, and we still got that guy, and we brought in Walker Kessler. So that kind of, makes things better. And here's the thing. Maybe we're just not a three-point shooting team this next year.
That's not good.
Auburn's good. Auburn very likely might have the best front court in the SEC next year.
Yeah.
I mean, if Dylan Cardwell is your fourth.
Yeah, Jabari and Kessler, Jalen and Cardwell. Like,
yeah. And then you have Stretch just filling in the gaps.
Stretch is going to be – I think what's going to end up happening is that Stretch is going to kind of be what he ended up being a little bit into last year, where he was just a situational matchup dude. Yeah, like if they've got a guy that is just killing us for some reason because he's too physical for Kessler or whatever, Stretch comes in.
I think he can play a similar role that Horace played.
Yeah, just come in and foul the crap out of people.
Gonna play tough. I mean – back up a dominant big guy to Austin Wiley or Walker Kessler. And, you know, if you play 10 minutes and foul out, you know, it's fine. They earned it.
And he's okay at coming in and being a rebound guy.
Yeah.
What if we had Jalen at the two, Jabari at the three, Cardwell at the four, and Kessler at the five at some point next year? Hmm. And then Wendell Green.
And JT Thor comes back too?
Nah, Thor's not
coming. Which still could happen. It's true. Probably not, but it could.
It's not happening. No, nobody. Don't let Ryan get your hopes up, folks.
Yeah,
I'm not being a cynic. It's just I just don't see it.
Just being a mass chief.
No, not in this case. Just don't see it happening.
I think if Thor comes back, then I forget about Trey Alexander completely.
Yeah, totally.
Because all of a sudden Thor's playing the two.
Maybe that's what we do. Maybe we're. Maybe the yellow fella's going to see old JT Thor or wherever he may be right now.
I mean, Thor playing the two solves every one of our problems.
Yeah. That would be insane.
Would be insane. Totally insane. Flan's a three, but Thor is in everything. Thor is all in all.
I don't know if he could defend everything necessarily.
I wouldn't drive on him. I don't know who's getting around him.
I think he might get in foul trouble trying to defend the perimeter some.
He has the wingspan of a Quetzalcoatl, which is a prehistoric bird. It's actually a pterosaur, nice. I believe.
Okay. Quetzalcoatlus.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think
you mixed with an axolotl, which is a small water-dwelling lizard. Amphibian.
No, Quetzalcoatl is the bird.
Is Quetzalcoatl
it's a deity though?
Yeah, it's the deity in it's Andean, I think, or Aztec, one of the two.
One of Aztec. The Mayan maybe.
And they named the Quetzalcoatlus after Quetzalcoatl. Exactly. This is what you come to this podcast for: is prehistoric flying dinosaur, actually pterosaur, which are not really dinosaurs, let's be honest. But, okay, we are, we digress.
Dinosaur Train, you should watch it. Anyway, go ahead.
Dinosaur Train, okay. We are...
Kids will love it.
We are weeks from Auburn football starting, but we are still a basketball-first podcast. Soccer-first podcast, basketball-second podcast. And we have...
He's a third, football-fourth.
I don't know when we're going to actually...
Chicken
finger is somewhere in there.
It was at the top of the list.
At one point, and then it proved to be problematic. We
the androgens and the the frogs and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I had a run as a chump of the week.
This really is the Pizzagate episode, isn't it? So we've talked a lot about the lineup, and we don't know what Bruce is going to do. And we trust Bruce. The guy that I'm the most – I keep wanting to call him Wendell Carter Jr. It's not Wendell Carter Jr. because that guy's in the NBA.
Wendell Green.
Wendell Green, who sounds like two NBA players' names mixed.
I heard someone say Wendell Green.
I hope it's Wendell.
I think it may have been Painter Sharpless on the Auburn Observer.
That sounds like a Painterism.
I have to fill in our Auburn Observer shout-out on the bingo card there. So,
human microdose himself, Painter Sharpless. Everybody needs
is
a microdose.
Is that actually libelous? Like,
no, I'm saying that he has
a
psychotropic, psychotropic properties when you listen to the Auburn Observer podcast.
I'm glad no one's listening.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I feel it.
Man, Painter's listening to this right now. Shout out Painter and Justin.
Sorry, guys.
I think we're done here.
This is why they don't shout us out on their show, by the way.
I know, they never shout us out. It's fine.
It's all right. People pay for their content.
You should tweet. We should actually make sure that the account tweets out Painter Sharpless is the human microdose.
We got to figure out how to do the thing that podcasts are doing on Twitter now where like you can get a sound bite of like 30 seconds and embed it in the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to do that. It looks cool, though.
Yeah, if you know how to do that, send a DM to @RyanSterrett on Twitter.
No. Send it to Jack.
@CollegeandMag on Twitter.
Make that
and
happen.
Make sure you're reading the site. I wrote an article today for the first time in a long time. It's not really an article. I wrote a link dump again
today. Did you curse today?
No, it was just a link dump, so nobody got cursed. I shouted out to the birthday boy, Josh Vitale. He had a really good article about can Brian Harsin build on Gus Malzahn's actual success at getting guys into the draft. It was a good piece.
Did any of the Auburn related the Auburn versus Josh's participate in the Battle of the Josh's?
I hope so. Yes, it's in Oklahoma somewhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
A lot of dudes named Josh.
It's a popular name.
A lot of dudes named Josh.
You mentioned the draft. Do we want to talk about what Auburn guys are going to be?
Oh yeah,
finding out their pro destinations.
We can do that. I almost want to do it next week after they get drafted because I don't have a clue about this draft.
Let's do this instead of talking about where they might go or what round or anything like that. Let's just before they leave Auburn for the last time, talk about what we remember of them, favorite plays, favorite moments.
Oh yikes! I think we did this last year. I'm not going to be good at this.
Okay, we'll start with the easy one, Seth Williams. You know, there's some highs and there's some lows.
His best moment at Auburn was when he deboed that guy against Kentucky.
But he did it twice this year.
He punked that dude against Mississippi State.
Mississippi State and Kentucky.
That Mississippi State kid talking so much trash, and then the very next play, Seth catches a touchdown. It's one of the best moments in Auburn football. Like, legitimately,
I'm gonna miss a guy that can smack talk like that at the wide receiver position. I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah, some NFL drafts. I can't find the tweet right now, but there was an NFL scout who was like, Seth Williams is a quarterback who seems to care more about the game depending on how good the quarterback play around him is. So he's a receiver who seems to care more about the game he's in. And I think that's 100% true. Like, there were times where he would get extremely frustrated with what was going on.
Yeah.
That didn't have to do with him. I think that was the issue. That was the lows Ryan's talking about.
I think that just makes him more like us.
It makes him more like a diva receiver, which seemed to have a lot of success in the NFL.
All the best ones.
Let him go play. So, with,
going back with Aaron Rodgers, he single-handedly beat Texas A&M his freshman year too. If you remember that,
yes.
What was it? Three touchdowns in that game, or was it just two at the fourth quarter? I guess that was Stidham's senior year after things had already gone south, but made some just massive touchdown catches in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
The Oregon game winner, can't forget that one.
I mean, oh yeah, I mean that's
probably the best receiver,
iconic catch, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, he is the best receiver in an Auburn uniform in my lifetime. I'm pretty comfortable with that, even if the numbers don't they're not going to end up where we thought they were going to. I'm not necessarily a results guy in receivers, I guess, because before him, I would have said Duke was.
That would have been wrong.
Just the talent, though. I mean, he does things I have not seen another Auburn receiver do. And sure, maybe in the late 90s, early 2000s, there's some of those guys. But from the end of the Tuberville era on, He's got the most talented receiver we've had.
Oh, Seth, yeah. I'd say, from the end of Tuberville on, there's no question. It's probably, going before that. You may, I was just trying to think. You're probably right in your lifetime that he's the best one that we've had. From a pure talent perspective. And maybe if things were a little different for most of his time here, i.e. we had better offensive line play that allowed our quarterbacks to get the ball to him a little more, maybe worth talking about, we'll never have one this good again. And to a degree, I think he made the most out of I think he was at times the perfect, he's the kind of receiver you want when you've got a guy like Bo Nix who just scrambles and had to make plays. And he's a guy he could just throw it up to, and he's going to go try to get it more times than not. So, we were lucky to have him these last few years, and I'm sad to see him go. Despite some maybe frustrations that we've all had with him. Yeah.
I will say all those, we say frustrations. That's not to say anything off the field about him at all.
No.
He was exemplary as far as I can tell.
No, he's
never got in any kind of trouble. Was,
he's the only ever winner. He's the only ever winner of the Cam Belt, the fake trophy that I made during the season last year. The College of Magnolia Boss Energy Leadership Trophy. Because he won it the first week, and the way that it worked was you couldn't.
Unless someone took it from
him. Right, and no one took it from him. So you had it the entire season.
I think that's an indictment of this past season.
Well, that first game, he punked that Kentucky receiver, and that was it. Like, that's the rest of the season, it was just
– I think no I could have – I may have voted to give it to KJ Britt in the one game that he was able to play after that.
But then Mississippi State, he would have gotten it back.
Like, would have gotten it back, ended the season with it.
I think all right. Let's go to Anthony Schwartz. I think Anthony Schwartz will probably be the next. Will he be the next Auburn player drafted?
Yeah, Seth and Schwartz are definitely the top two prospects in this Auburn class.
I think some team's going to just take a chance on Anthony Schwartz. Like, they're going to be like, well, he can return. He's really fast. He can return punts.
Yeah, even though he's never returned kicks.
Worst case, you get somebody with world class speed.
It's because he may not have the best lateral movement. I think that's.
I don't know, man.
Who would know?
It's
really hard to move laterally when you can't throw an accurate screen pass. I don't know. I would hope he doesn't do the prototypical end up on the Raiders move, because he is a perfect candidate for that. If he goes to a system that has an established quarterback and I don't know. If he can be an extra weapon instead of having high expectations on him,
yeah, I think that's.
I think he can be a breakout star. The Chiefs is the easy answer. No, I mean, the Chiefs is the easy answer of, oh, he can just make some highlight reel plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we're talking about Anthony Schwartz as a star in the NFL. Because okay, I don't even know if we're talking about.
Let me rephrase Seth that. Williams I'm not saying he's going to be a number one receiver. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's somebody that you might see on SportsCenter.
Maybe.
Just.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Yeah. He's going to go get some intense coaching in the NFL that he's
definitely
not had to this point, I believe. So without denigrating our previous coaching staff too much, it's just, that's just the way it is.
Well, and at this point, I think you can presume he's not considering the Olympics at any point anymore. So he can fully dedicate training wise to building a football body and not a track body.
Sure.
Work
on that lateral movement. Something.
Yeah. I think he will always be near the top of the list of like guys that you just wanted more from at Auburn. Not because, again, I don't really blame him for it. It just wasn't a fit in the offense. And the late stage Gus Malzahn offense,
he just didn't have
a great role.
Things had lost their way, and we weren't putting people in positions to accentuate their skills anymore.
All right. Who would be the next player off the board?
As far as draft ranking, I mean, I think you're probably looking at Jamien Sherwood. I think he's probably a mid to late round defensive back. Has all the measurables, I mean, to look like a good NFL prospect. He didn't have the biggest year this year. He seems like one of those guys that he's a good safety, but I don't know what a great safety in the NFL is anymore because.
Oh, Nico Thorpe's had like a 15-year career or whatever. So, you know.
The days of being a run stopping, hard hitting safety are kind of gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's where he would excel at. And I'm trying to think. I don't have just a standout play for him in his time here, but
15 years, just, or like 10-year career. Anyway, go ahead.
always a very, very good player, good part of this defense. Never really seemed to get burned, so can't say that about other Auburn safeties.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Do you want to move on from there?
Move on. Yeah.
All right. Then you've got kind of a group of guys that you never know who's going to be a seventh-round draft pick. KJ Britt was supposed to be the headline of this Auburn linebacker group this past year. Injury kind of took that away from him. Like Deshaun Davis before him, I don't know how his play style translates to the NFL just because he's a traditional downhill, pitch in the mouth, kind of inside linebacker.
Right.
And when teams are running four wide every play, that you don't get a ton of playing time in the NFL. Not the fastest guy, but always in the right place. Seem to remember a couple plays in that Oregon game that he stepped up and had some big stops.
And under Steele, we didn't really play with that traditional middle linebacker, right? It was more of...
Well, it was a lot of, I guess, 4-2-5 or just base nickel because everybody runs three wide now.
Right.
But still, I mean, he was a playmaker in the middle of the defense.
Yeah.
T. Will called him Downhill Britt for a reason. But,
yeah.
And then I guess the last two guys that are kind of borderline, probably more likely to be UDFAs. We'll start with Eli Stove.
I feel like you mentioned the Chiefs. I feel like Eli Stove's a guy that could go to the Chiefs and do stuff.
Yeah. I think we all kind of wrote him off as like, he'll probably be done with football when he graduates just because of the knee injuries.
Well, he showed old.
Last year. Like, he should, well, yeah.
It's like, he showed it's last like your year, age,
he
right?
Still is a, pretty close. He's still a very productive wide receiver because he was for most of the season, if not at the end of the year, he led the country, or at least led the SEC in catch rate. Yeah. He does not drop the ball.
Yeah.
And he kind of had the whole life of different roles in the Gus Malzahn on offense. He was the speed sweep guy as a freshman. I think in that 2016 Arkansas game, he had a couple big runs off the edge. Was a deep ball guy for a little bit, and then just became a possession receiver last year after all those knee injuries.
He's just a guy that, I mean, he's good. He's reliable.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't get a lot of credit. And I think it's, like you said, because he was around for so long, the injuries. But he was the most reliable guy that we had this year. After losing Ryan Davis last year, he was the guy that I was like, well, you throw it to him, he's going to catch it. And he's, you know, maybe not, you know, going to get a ton of touchdowns, but whatever. So he's like a good utility guy that I would love to see go to a team like the Chiefs, because they could do something with him. They're a guy like Andy Reid's going to – he is what we want Gus Malzahn to be. He puts guys in positions to use their talents. But
you could do worse than having him as a fourth receiver, special teams guy. On the back of the roster.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think, well, why wouldn't you? You could have him return punts and stuff too.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll find a home. You're probably right. You've also looked at the draft boards more than I have, which it's not a high bar to clear. I'm sure he's not going to get drafted because he's not a big marquee guy. He didn't put up a ton of eye-popping numbers here either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he has a high ceiling necessarily, but I think he could help the back of your roster, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But just talking about how long he's been here, he was in the same freshman class that made Cody a big name,
mm-hmm.
at least when he first –
mm-hmm.
With Nate Craig Myers and Kyle Davis,
mm-hmm.
all in the same signing class.
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I gotta say, did not see Eli Stove as being the best receiver out of that group, or at least the having the most success out of that group.
Well, life choices in at least one of those cases.
Yeah. Nate Craig Myers still playing college football.
Yeah, that's right. Well, is he going to play next year? Oh, yeah,
he's going
to
play. Gus Malzahn at UCF, yeah.
God, that's right. Kudos to him, man. Sticking with it.
Yeah. So then the last guy that is going to be playing pro football next year out of this group, Jordan Peters, never really got the chance to be a starter on the defense, but was just all over the place on special teams.
Yeah.
And if there's one NFL team that you know could use them, it's the Patriots. They've kind of made a habit out of getting guys that just play special teams.
And, yeah, they'll use one of their 8th, 7th round picks on him, I'm sure. Which I'm sure is how many they'll end up with before the draft is over.
Who is it from Auburn that's still there playing special teams? Is it Brandon King?
That's who was there when they were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Or
won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
However many years
still
ago.
Still is, man.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And like a guy that didn't really play at Auburn. I think maybe transferred in for a year and then graduated, but just stuck around in the NFL for a while.
Yeah, he's still playing for those Patriots, looks like.
All right, who else? Our very that's short it. Podcast has become a very long podcast.
I think that's it for the players, right?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. Well, we will report back next week with surprises, like when Schwartz gets picked in the first round.
Yeah. Like that. The NFL draft is not like the NBA draft, though, where like after the top 15, like it's like, could be people you've never even heard of.
The NBA draft, yeah, you got 15 picks that matter, and the rest is just like,
dude's just taking a chance.
Yeah, because those guys may not ever see a court in the NBA. All right.
That's why It's a good thing it's only two rounds.
Exactly. It used to be like four rounds.
Yeah.
And it was still 15 guys, and then everybody else was just guys that were going to go play in Europe.
I will say I hate what the NFL's done, where the first round is on a Thursday night, and then the second round is the next day.
Everyone else loves it.
I hate it.
Because they made it a television show. I don't like it either because I just follow it on Twitter. It doesn't matter to me.
Me and my buddies used to have a big thing where that first round we would hang out all day, or the first three rounds were like the same day or whatever.
Sure.
Hang out all day. One of my greatest college memories was me and my buddy Steve and my buddy Bob Wainer all hanging out at the Graywood apartments off Glen. Anyway,
yeah.
And hanging out all night one night, and then waking up, rolling over on Bob's couch and just with one eye open watching the draft all day. So it was pretty fun.
Real quick, who do you want your team to pick?
Oh.
Any ideas? Been keeping up with that?
The Cowboys have the 10th pick in the draft. I really wanted them to get a corner, and I would like them to get Patrick Surtain the second from Alabama.
The Panthers traded away. Did they trade away their first round pick for Darnold? Is that what happened?
Let's see.
I know they traded a pick or two or three, but I don't know if it was.
Sounds right. I don't remember them having an early pick. Oh no, they pick eighth.
I should just trade.
I do see Trey Lance as an option in a mock draft, so
could be all right. I don't know.
All right, guys, I gotta go to sleep.
All right.
Well, we will see you guys next week. Until then, everybody, watch the draft. Let us know what we got wrong at College Mag. One, two, three, four. And have a War Eagle weekend.
War Eagle.